usually when we try a new bit on the show, there is two ways it goes. It goes really, really well because it's been really, really well thought out and really, really well executed, really, really well communicated, and really, really well planned out. And then there's the other way it goes. But JP and I have been thinking about this for a minute, and we proudly, or not so proudly, we'll see how this goes, brings you Bandwagon. So this is a great time to decide what bandwagons you're on, what bandwagons you're off. We'll take any submissions at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin. Jake Murren, who is behind the glass today, is going to help us out with this. Jake, thank you.
Yeah, of course. That's a lot of pressure. It's either going to be great or something else you said. So.
Well, as of now, we are on your bandwagon.
Yeah. But also, no, you are directly responsible for the success and failure of this.
Yeah, this is, you're basically Deshaun Watson. I'm Kevin Stefanski. He's Jim Schwartz. If this goes poorly, man, I can't believe you screwed it up.
Yeah.
Does that make Kayla Andrew Berry?
Ooh, that's
a
lot of power.
Nice. How do you do?
Do you like that? I think Kayla likes that. So Kayla likes it. She can
and
have
Mackenzie's
it.
Mackenzie's Paul DePodesta, because we're still trying to figure out exactly what she does.
Does that make Keith Jimmy Haslam just unintentionally destructive? He's rich, though. It's okay.
Yeah.
The Haslam's
not Keith. Everything, guys. Yeah.
All right. What's first up on bandwagons? You got to turn on your...
Oh, no.
Rough start. Rough start.
Oh, no.
All right. Rewind.
Take two. Right.
The AFC North, still the best division in football. Are you on or off that bandwagon?
I'm going to say I've got to be off. You got half the division or 2-8. I know the guys. You still got Joe Burrow. You still got Lamar. I kind of think the Steelers suck kind of secretly here. I think we're just figuring that out. Or maybe we all kind of all knew all along. I think this might be a one-team division. Because I don't know how the Bengals, unless Joe Burrow is just going to start throwing for 450 yards a game. And I think...
I think he will.
You know what?
Spoiler alert, I think he will. Might not have a defense that'll help him out, but I think he will.
If anyone can go Dan Marino. But the problem is they're now 1-4, and the math... If it's tough math for the Browns, it's kind of got to be tough math for the Bengals, right?
I'm going to agree with you. I'm getting off the bandwagon. But the part of this job that I think is the toughest is then finding out what division you're going to go ahead and take over and put at the top.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that might be the NFC North. I think it was the AFC North. Now I think it might be the NFC North. I still think the Vikings are fraudulent. We've talked about that a lot. I don't buy into them, but they're 5-0. You have to give them credit. Detroit's a good team. We know that. The Bears, Caleb Williams was great this past weekend. And then the Packers with Jordan Love. I think the NFC North is the best team, best division in football.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the sleeper that can rival that now.
They all stink. Every division, with the exception of the NFC North, has a bunch of stinkers in there.
Well, okay. Every division has at least one stinker. And I don't know, because Caleb Williams looks really good, I don't know you can just definitively... I almost said exclude them from the conversation. So in a weaker NFC, yeah, I kind of think the NFC North is kind of running supreme here. And by the way, the Packers are waking up. I think we should come around to the idea that Jordan Love and that team is going to cause a lot of havoc there, even if they don't take the division.
Yeah, got rid of the Jordan Love injury. They bypassed that tough part with Malik Willis. Like, they're going
to
be fine.
I mean, to have what we thought the injury was when it happened, to then be 3-2, and honestly sitting pretty heading into October. That's why the Packers, one of the historically great franchises in NFL history, and why the Browns, who at one point were such, are the Cleveland Browns.
Now, do you feel like we need to defend our bandwagon on or off more? Or was that was the appropriate amount of defense?
I feel that was the perfect amount of defense. Now, what's going to be interesting is if you and I disagree whether to be on or off the bandwagon on something.
And then it just turns into a brouhaha.
I mean, much like, I would say, the 3 o'clock hour.
Hopefully.
We got a fight going on. We got a fight.
I want a fight. Hopefully we get one of those.
I do like a good fight.
Yeah.
What else we got there, Jake?
Bill Belichick as the next possible head coach of the New York Jets, on or off the bandwagon?
I'm going to let you go.
Off. That's never going to happen. We know the history of Belichick and the Jets. It's never going to happen.
It'd be the single greatest heel turn in the history of football. How bad he dogged them when Leon Hess died. Or was it Bill Parcells fired him. I don't know how that happened. But the point is, to go terrorize the Jets for 20 years... get run by Bob Kraft, and then come back and your last act of vengeance? Because you know this, Bill Belichick got fired by a different Browns organization and still wants to stick it to the Browns every chance he gets.
Right, he'll never be the head coach of the Browns, the same way he'll never be the head coach of the Jets.
Now, here's what it comes down to. Does his hatred for Bob Kraft surpass his hatred for the New York Jets? Also, they've got a quarterback there. I think I'm on the bandwagon.
I'll drive you to the methadone clinic. What are you doing? You just wanted to get in the fight. That's all you wanted to do.
No. Here's the thing.
Come on, we can get up there. We can get the sparring going if you want.
I disagree with Christopher or Woody. I still can't separate my Johnsons here. I don't know which one's which.
It is Johnson and Johnson.
It is. It's they're together.
Yes.
There's a couple Johnsons together. But I will say, I think he's an ass clown. I think the Johnsons collectively, couple ass clowns.
Yeah.
But I think the Jets, given that they're a veteran team, that they've been building to this, that I think they might just, like, you can see the promise of the team on paper and you've got the quarterback. That makes as much sense as I think the Cowboys do.
Do they have the quarterback?
Yeah, I think. Okay.
You got Rodgers for potentially the end of, I would think, maybe this year. And then so far this year, it hasn't even gone great.
Do you know what you do? You say, Nathaniel Hackett, you can't hack it. Here's my boy, Josh McDaniels. He's come here to fix Aaron Rodgers.
Why did you throw Nathaniel Hackett into the... You just wanted to do the Hackett pun. That's all you wanted to do there, right?
Guilty as charged.
Okay. It was a good one.
Yeah, gonna own that
one. It was a good one.
But no, I mean, I think it makes sense. I think the team that makes the most sense is the Eagles.
Now that I'm on board with.
But they don't have an opening right now.
Well, they're gonna at the end of the season. Wait your time, Bill.
I don't think you have to.
Go on Monday Night Football and blast the Mannings like you did last night on their own television program, and everything will be fine.
Quite frankly, how much
on
fun
on their own television program?
How much fun is Bill Belichick really having? He's owning the Mannings. He's knocking boots with a 24-year-old Instagram model. Like, this sounds awful for him. He just wants to be in the pocket. Not that pocket. He just wants to be in the pocket. Coaching football with the X's and O's. Just football guys being guys. And if that means... I really think you're missing the biggest part here.
What's that?
This is a great... Bill Belichick is a spiteful man. To spite Bob Kraft and take this team over and lead them to anything would be the ultimate double deuces to the man that ran him after town after he gave him 6 Super Bowl rings.
No chance. And it would lack as much awareness as him last night getting on Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's relationship and him saying nobody wants to see that, while also then us being bombarded with his 24-year-old relationship all the time.
Okay, I want to see one half of that. I just don't want to see all of it. All right, what's up next there, Jake, on bandwagons?
Yeah, based on that, I think we're going to get another disagreement here. Sticking with the Jets for a moment, Aaron Rodgers is still a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Are you on or off that bandwagon?
You trapped him.
Can I have one ass cheek on the bandwagon?
I get to be off the bandwagon, and you're stuck on it.
You know what? No, I'm going to double down.
He trapped you.
With Bill Belichick as the head coach, yes, Aaron Rodgers is still a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Well, it's 5 games, and quarterback play around the NFL sucks, so we're just focusing it on Rodgers because he's a chotch who talks out his ass too much, and because he's on McAfee every week. You cannot tell me that in a better situation,
happier being the host of Jeopardy right now. This has gone awful for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he hates those $40 million a year.
This has gone horribly for him.
T's and P's up to Aaron Rodgers being the face of a football team, making $40 million a year, and having your pick of anybody you would like to go ahead and date, quote unquote, in America, got to be real tough. Thoughts and prayers. He still is.
You need a special type of person to date Aaron Rodgers.
Why are we writing him off
Shailene
after 5
Woodley,
games?
Danica Patrick. Quite the list.
Sugar Daddy.
It's not a great list. It's not okay.
It's been worse list.
Actually, no. It's not a coherent list.
Okay.
Right?
Olivia Munn's in that list, too.
From Shatterstar or whatever the hippie chick's name
was. Olivia Munn, Shailene Woodley.
Shatterstar.
And then what is it?
Blue Star, Blue Earth.
I think it was like Blue Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's variance. Too much variance. I need a type. All right? let's just narrow it down. Other than weird people. What else we have on bandwagon? By the way, I'm off the bandwagon on Aaron Rodgers' dating history. Off. This makes no damn sense. Jake?
Let's go to baseball with how hectic the first week of the MLB postseason has been. Baseball has never been in a better place. Are you off or on that bandwagon?
Actually, I'm going to be on the bandwagon in this one because baseball playoffs have been great. And they've been so great in such an unexpected way. Like, we always get excited for baseball playoffs, but people are talking about baseball playoffs the way people talk about hockey playoffs, where it's like you can't miss a minute. And that's a cool thing for the sport.
So the playoffs are great. It kind of feels like baseball was at its best in, like, 1970s, right before cocaine, but right during greenies. So
when Doc Ellis was throwing no hitters on LSD, is that what you're going for?
Yeah,
that was the 70s. Yeah,
yeah. When you couldn't legislate the drugs out of the game. I will say, in the last 50 years, this is as good as it's been. So I will be on the bandwagon.
The talent's never been better. The format for the postseason is wild, and I think it's actually helped them.
Yeah.
You put a lot of teams into play, which is not great, but baseball and how it works, it's kind of helped.
They're still second fiddle to the NFL. And there was a time where that was not.
By a wide margin.
That has not always been the case, though, and it was right around the time the cocaine came in that all of a sudden football became. I'm not causality here, but I'm just pointing out.
Oh, Bill Simmons in his book of basketball said they can't even count 1970s. He was like, I don't want to do a chapter on the 1970s because it was just littered with all sorts of illicit drugs.
Yeah, because no other decade has had drug problems in sports.
I once had a teacher.
For Shezel.
He was like, if your parents were of the right age in the 70s and they tell you they didn't do all sorts of drugs, they're just lying to you.
Yeah, my dad
He's like, everyone did them.
My dad was like, I did all of them. Here are the good ones. Jake, real quick. Are you on or off the bandwagon for bandwagons?
I'm going to go with on.
All right, Kayla, on or off the bandwagon for bandwagons? Got to turn your microphone there.
I just turned on Jake's on accident. I'm going to say yes. We just need to get some production done for it.
Oh, that's a very nice critique there. JP?
It'd be really funny if anyone set off on that. That would be too funny for me, but I can't do it. It was on.
It'd be a real troll of everyone here, including ourselves.
And turn the mic off. I'm going to go with off and then turn the mic off immediately.
When we come back. Back to the Guardians and whether yesterday was their chance to steal the series next on 92.3 The Fan. Can I just review movies I really like?
Thumbs up or thumbs down, TikTok.
That's the worst.
Joker 2, thumbs down.
So no TikTok. Context.
No, none.
So
because your whole life is context. Your whole life is giving like a bunch of analysis and a bunch of opinion. It'd be really funny if like your movie review version was the most simplistic thing in the world. It's like thumbs up, thumbs down. Gladiator style is if you're deciding the fate of people's deaths.
I kind of like the idea of no context reactions.
Yeah.
And it's simply reduced to a yes or no. Because
it's very powerful.
Honestly. It would drive engagement like crazy because it'd be like, what? Thumbs down? What are you talking about? I don't know why I'm doing this.
How could it be thumbs down?
Yeah, but are you dumb? Yes. What was that, Kayla?
I have to look it up just to confirm, but there is a TikTok creator. She goes by Ayame.
Uh-huh.
I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Sounds fictional.
That's how she started.
Uh-huh.
And it would be reaction videos where she would watch things like being crushed by a hydraulic press.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't give context, but she would say yes or no on whether she enjoyed it.
Oh,
I do like those hydraulic press videos. Yeah. Those
she's
always
the one that started that. She has millions of followers.
Well, it's totally different because this is thumbs up or thumbs down. Yeah, it's totally different.
You're a real Siskel and Ebert over there.
You wouldn't talk at all?
But, people would hear, Nick, talk.
Yeah, that's always at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught on to it or not. It's always at the end.
Well, I think what you'd have to do is have to be like, Joker 2, Foley Adu. That rhymes. That is just not
part
great.
Part of why the movie didn't go well.
Yeah, because of a rhyming.
No rhyming movie ever goes well. It's hokey the title.
How many rhyming movies are there?
I can tell you a lot of non-rhyming movies.
I kind of want you to Google right now
how many
rhyming movie titles. And just see where the show goes from there.
Name me the great ones that do rhyme, I think, is the real challenge.
Well, no, it's such a specific niche. I think you're approaching this from the wrong angle.
I got the right angle.
I don't have to disprove your theory. It's your theory, and then you have to show your work.
Something as stupid as this doesn't have to have any sort of proof at all.
Well, yes, because there has to be there's got to be a precedence. That's the problem with your working theory here. Are you Googling it? Because I see you. What you guys don't see is
Battle in Seattle.
Well, that just doesn't sound like a great idea for a movie.
Bugs and Thugs.
Okay.
Chop Shop.
Chop Shop?
That's a real one. Chop Shop. Okay, but I mean, they're all real movies.
Well, yeah, but none of these are like A-list big budget movies.
They made a movie out of The Cat in the Hat. That was a pretty big movie.
Okay.
Also stunk. See, movies that rhyme, never great.
Now, wait, did you think this when you were young, or is this like you've come to it as an adult and now it sucks? Because it's not for you.
I came to this a minute and a half ago. What do you mean?
No, I'm talking about The Cat in the Hat. Because there's movies you see as a kid that you objectively know aren't good because you watch them when you're a kid.
If I had a rewatch of The Cat in the Hat.
I'm saying, did you watch it for the first time as an adult?
Haven't done that. No, I think it was a child.
Okay.
Maybe.
It came out like 2002. That's how time works. 2002, I bet.
I was 13 years old then.
Is that real?
From Prada to Nada.
I heard that movie was wonderful.
Who's making these movies?
Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Feud with a dude.
By the way, sorry, I hate Rob Schneider. I think he's a hack. Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo is very funny. Not in a good way.
I got a movie that rhymed that I liked.
Okay.
Good Luck Chuck.
Is that the Dane Cook one?
Yeah. Come on, act like you don't know that one. Yeah. Come on now.
Who else is in that?
Is it Ashley Judd? No, maybe not.
Did you say Ashley Judd?
Hold on.
Is it Winona Judd?
No, it's Jessica Alba. Even better. Well, hold on. You can't get on me for a lack of recall on Good Luck Chuck.
You just said you liked the movie.
I did like the movie, but it was so long ago.
So, no, the problem is not that you got the name wrong for Jessica Alba.
She was in at that point.
And the Ashley Judd.
They're all the same to me. They all played the same role in the same rom-com for like a decade straight.
I think
they were all the wrong game. They were all the same people.
What rom-com was Ashley Judd in, for the love of God?
Kentucky Basketball. It was a real rom-com for many years. Her and her relationship with Kentucky Hoops.
I think you just spiraled out of control with a lot of strong takes in a small amount
of
time.
Hocus Pocus.
That's a great movie. You bite your tongue.
People like Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
One of my favorite.
Yeah. It's a great, one of the rare, fun Halloween movies. Most of them are just scary.
There were this many movies that actually rubbed. Kill Bill. People like Kill Bill a lot.
I just got Nick to watch both part one and two.
Different Nick.
For the first time.
Mike, the basketball movie?
That sucked. Like, sorry, Jonathan Lipnicki, that was not great. You can do better.
Wow.
Him too. Mike from Painesville, Casablanca. Does that rhyme? Is that what he's throwing in right now? Casablanca?
Isn't it one word?
It is, but...
can't rhyme.
216-474-0092.
We're gonna let
you guys decide. If a movie title rhymes, does the movie automatically suck? Now... game two sucked. We're gonna make the leap here. Game two sucked for the Guardians. Was that the opportunity to take this series?
I mean, yeah, it was the opportunity to take the series.
See, okay, I think it was a opportunity. I think calling it the opportunity is wildly premature.
You had Scooble. You had him right where you wanted him. How am I supposed to guarantee that if it goes to a game five that you're gonna be able to have the same type of setup that you just had with Scooble, where you had him basically null and void?
You're already getting too far ahead of yourself. They've got two games to avoid.
They
got to
win games three and four then.
Yeah, okay. And?
That seems like a pretty hard task.
Well, what's harder, beating Tarik Scooble in game five or beating Chaos?
See how both seem really hard to me right now?
I mean, I think beating the bullpen two games in a row seems a lot easier than beating Tarik Scooble.
You win game two, and we're not even having a discussion. We're getting ourselves ready for ALCS.
So are you just salty that they didn't sweep the Tigers? They're a good team.
No, I'm just playing in reality. The reality is that game two was a massive opportunity.
Okay, it was a massive opportunity, but can we really be that upset about a game that everyone agreed you'll be lucky to win this game?
No, I think that's my problem with the game in hindsight, though, is it feels like everyone's just like, well, we were supposed to lose against Scooble, so I guess it played out the way that it was supposed to.
Ooh, I don't know. I think people just realize
it completely negates the idea that you had Scooble out of the equation.
I just think my thing is I'm not that upset about game two. One, because I didn't expect them to sweep the Tigers. I expected the Tigers to get at least one. It's logical that would be the game you get it. Two, I'm not that upset about it because you have every opportunity to make up for it. Like, let me put it this way. If this was game four, and now, of course, this wouldn't make sense because you wouldn't be facing Scooble again. But in this case, if this was game four and you were up two games to one and this thing was going back to Detroit, then all of a sudden saying, well, you were at home, the series was on the line, you had a chance to finish it off. Now it's one game. Your margin for error is the same as theirs. So, like, now it's just even again. So now it's who's going to take.
A lot of fans are approaching it. Like, we got a fresh three-game set, I just don't know that I look at it that way.
I also think, I just don't think people are going to hammer Class A. Bad pitch. Bad moment to have a bad pitch. Like, it's the most logical of losses that you can have.
Well, you can't hammer Class A. He's had such a tremendous season. It just feels wrong to hammer Class A. Like, yeah. it doesn't feel like the, you know, it's in the 0-1 World Series when Mariano does blow the save. You treat it differently than when Byung-Hun Kim blew the save in Yankee Stadium for the Diamondbacks. Like, they're different, you know? When Byung-Hun Kim blows it, you're like, well, he did what Byung-Hun Kim is supposed to do in that spot. But when Mariano blows it in a Game 7, you're like, oh, wow, they got after him then? Like, there is a difference there, and I think Class A's earned that benefit of the doubt. For me, though, it completely changes the complexity of the series. It tilts it back in Detroit's favor.
So to you, the context of how you lose matters?
What mattered the most to me was that a couple things happened. One, you negated Scooble, as we talked about, but the other one, this told the Tigers that our ninth innings had been inevitable the entire season. Like, ninth innings just had ceased to exist for us because Class A was so great. Now it takes the ninth inning back into play for me.
Ooh, yeah, I'm just not there. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I think that is a logical thing of, hey, I just burnt my hand on the stove. I'm never going to touch the stove again. I'm just not there. Like, I think this series is still in front of them. And ideally, you'd like to not have to either face Scooble at home again or have to win the next two games in Detroit. And playoffs aren't ideal. And if I said coming off the game one win, let's see how Detroit handles it. Same thing with the Gardos. All right, this is the first time this team, as constructed this year, has lost in the playoffs. Do you come out and do you play tight in game three, or do you hop on them and try and take this thing where it goes?
I just think it would have been so demoralizing to the Tigers if we could have not only did what happened in game one, which I think really was like that was an eye-opening moment for Detroit. Because they had been able to go through everything they've done. Think about it. They took down the Astros like it was easy. The Astros aren't supposed to be easy. They did it with ease. And also the last part of the 2 months of the season, I think they were walking around like they were invincible, Nick. And game one against the Guardians showed why they're that much better of a team. And I think you had them in a good spot. You really did. And now I think everything flipped.
They had one good inning offensively and in the first two games of the season or the series, and they had Scooble. That's more how I'm looking at it. 216-474-0092 was yesterday the Guardians' chance to steal the series. Smash or pass, Guardians edition, next on 92.3 The Fan.